You may be seated, and thank you all for being here tonight. And isn't it wonderful to be in the Glory Land way, to know that we are on our journey to heaven, and that we're making preparation for that journey to eternity. And we're glad that all of you who are here tonight are children of God. You've made your calling and your election sure, and we hope and trust tonight that as we reason together on the Word of God, that you will even be more sure about your relationship with Him. And if there is a question in your mind at the end of the service tonight, Doug has selected a song of encouragement that we're going to sing to encourage you to respond publicly tonight and make your calling and your election sure. We do want to welcome you if you're visiting with us tonight and you're not a member of the congregation here. We hope that you'll come again. We have a wonderful congregation of God's people here, simply trying to love the Lord and do the will of God, and we hope that you'd want to be among us. I want to talk to you tonight about lies from hell and truth from heaven. You know, the Bible in the book of Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, "All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth of fire and brimstone." Lies are of the devil according to the Word of God, according to what Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24. And there are many lies that we often believe instead of believing the truth that can really release us to a freedom that we have never ever had. You know, truth is always absolute. One thing you can always remember about truth will always be truth. That's why Jesus is referred to as the way, the truth, and the life. He is called in the book of Revelation chapter 22, the true and the faithful. He is truth. He said that even to Pilate. When Pilate said, "What is truth?" He says, "Thou sayest it." And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no way to heaven except through biblical truth. That is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But one thing you can also rest assured of, that lies are always changing. Isn't that amazing? A person can tell a lie, and then they embellish that lie to keep from getting caught, and they tell another lie to overcome that lie. You know what? My dad told me many years ago, "Son, if you always speak the truth, you won't ever have to worry about what you say." And it is so true, isn't it? The devil is the greatest deceiver in all of the world. He is the greatest deceiver of those of us who are children of God. Why, in John 8, 24, Jesus said, "There is no truth in him, for he is a liar, and he is not only a liar, but he is the father," that is, the perpetrator of lies. That is Satan himself. You know, God has always had a method for freedom. And that method is just simply true. He says, "You shall know the truth," John 8 and verse 32, "and the truth shall set you free." But when you read the Bible, you recognize that there is a battle that is going on. And that battle often takes place in our mind between truth and lies. And it brings about a decision in our mind about who we're going to believe. We're going to believe lies, we're going to believe truth. And sometimes we don't even know the difference until we get into the Bible. That's why we always encourage you to bring your Bible. We always encourage you to study your Bible. There are two forces that are at work in this world today. One of them is the force that comes from heaven, and that is God. And that is the power of God. Romans 1 and verse 16. And the power of God works through truth. You remember when Paul wrote to the church at Rome in the first chapter in verse 16? Why, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." In John 1 and verse 12, Jesus spake and said that to those who would receive him, gave he the power to become the sons of God. But there is another. And that force comes from hell. It is the power of Satan himself. And I'm telling you, the satanic forces are at work in our world. If you don't believe it, read your daily newspaper. Turn on the television if you want to hear a lot of bad news. I don't like to listen to a whole lot of bad news. I listen to the news sometimes to stay informed, but I don't sit and meditate on it like I used to because it was so depressing. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to depress us with lies and false information. And that's the way he works. It is the power of the devil who works through lies. We need to be reminded every day of who the real enemy is. Our real enemy is Satan. It's not God. And every day we need to stop and think about who is our enemy? Who is the real enemy? Why, he is the one who is the perpetrator of lies and things that are untrue. And we ought to beware every day because Satan is also a fisher of men and his nets are full. They are. Every day, Satan posts a message in hell that just simply says, I've gone fishing. You know, the Bible in the book of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, Jesus said to certain people who were fishing down at the seaside, to come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They dropped their nets and they followed him. But you know what? Satan is saying the same thing to us in principle today, isn't he? You need to drop your nets and follow me. He is fishing for men. And there is a strong admonition and a strong message from God, a warning, if you will. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 about the demonic spirits of the world, the devil walks around and he is a roaring lion. He is seeking whom he may devour. He's not just interested in kind of playing with your life, but he is interested in devouring you and taking you out of the picture. And the Bible says that we have to resist him and the devil will flee. Well, I want to give you a little test tonight. And the test is, do you love God or do you love Satan? Now, you don't have to, just have this little test in your mind, okay? We're not putting anything down on paper, but I believe there is an answer. Did you know that if you really love God, you will seek God and not sin? In the Old Testament, one of the great prophets of God in the Old Testament, he was somewhat of a minor prophet, but in the book of Amos chapter 5 and verse 4, God's servant said, "For thus saith the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and you shall live." Now, if we seek God, we're going to live, but if we seek the sinful things of the world or we seek Satan, then we will not survive. We will not. And Jesus essentially echoed the same thing over in the book of Matthew 6:33, when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the essential things of life, like food, clothing, and shelter, will be granted unto you." That's a promise from heaven. But in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, the Bible says, "Therefore, whether you eat or whether you drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." That is, God wants to be glorified by your life. And when we say that we love him, in reality, we're going to glorify him. In Psalms 37 and verse 4, David said, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you," listen to this now, "the desires of your heart." Now, some people read that and just say, well, God's going to give us anything we want. He doesn't say that. What we have to realize in the Word of God, that God is not one who meets our greed, he meets our need. He knows what we have need of even before we ask and petition him for it. But I know one thing, that if we ask something that is inconsistent with his will, God's not going to respond to that kind of prayer. John said that over in that first epistle to the church. If we ask anything according to his will, John says, he heareth us. But some people like to live in the clouds and they think of religion or relationship with God as some kind of facade, and they never really think about what God wants them to do. They are kind of like those in the book of Amos, chapter 6, who would lie on their beds of ivory, and they would just simply do what they wanted to do, not really interested in things that were spiritual. In Colossians 3:17, however, Paul said, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him." Now that's our role as God's people. 2 Corinthians 4:5 also said, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord." You see, during Paul's day, there were a lot of people like many of the modern day evangelists and modern day religious prognosticators, and they were teaching things that were contrary to the will of God. Paul rebukes the Galatian church because they were doing that. They had been baptized into Christ. They were of the nation of Israel, and they had at one time practiced the old Jewish law, and now they're converted to Christ. They understood what Paul meant in the book of Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27, when he said, "For now you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." They understood that. But Paul has to rebuke them because they've been listening to a lot of the, quote, tele-evangelists. Well, they weren't really tele-evangelists, but they were erroneous false teachers. And Jesus said that in his day, according to Matthew 24, many false teachers would go out into the world and thereby deceive many. And the Galatians were deceived because they went back to practicing that old law. And Paul says, how can you turn away from God? And how can you be so soon removed from that doctrine that you know in Christ Jesus our Lord? So Paul, in this writing to the church at Corinth, is trying to remind them that, hey, we're not preaching ourselves. We're not up here preaching for money. We're not preaching for filthy lucre's sake. We're only preaching to help you develop a relationship with Christ. Notice it. "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord, with ourselves as your servants," listen to this, "not for self's sake, but for Jesus' sake." I have come to believe through the years that if you really put God first, you will never, ever be last. Didn't Jesus say something about that? Didn't he? "He that is first shall what? Be last. And he that is least shall be first." That's exactly what he said. So seek God and not sin. Number two, here's a test. Here's a way to determine whether you love God or not. Whether or not you fear God or whether you fear men. The Bible says we don't fear men. Solomon said many years ago, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." One translation says the word duty there was actually an injected word by the translators, and that the passage should actually read in this way: "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man," the thing that really makes us complete. In Proverbs 19:23, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction, and he will not be visited by evil." And then in Matthew 10, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both the body and the soul in hell." It's always amazed me. You know, I have read the Word of God, and it's such a dear, dear thing to me. It really, really is. And I see so many people today who are more afraid of men than they are of God. I can't imagine people being more afraid of mankind than being afraid and fearful of our Creator and rejecting the God who fashioned us in His own likeness. Genesis chapter 2. For Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 that God has not come to give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, a real sound mind does not fear man, it fears God. It does. And the word fear there in the Hebrew language actually means to respect him. But we're more terrorized of mankind than we are esteeming the God of heaven and holding him in a reverential awe. Let me tell you something. When people put you down, now this is why you're not supposed to be afraid of men. When people put you down, God will pick you up. Now that's one of the great truths. It may not be borne out that same way in Holy Scripture, but it is true that when people let you down. How many of you have ever been let down by folks? We all experience it in life, don't we? There are times when, maybe there are times when you've let other people down. But you know what? The people that you let down who are children of God, God picked them up. And if you find yourself in reality irritated or perhaps overwhelmed, maybe it's a sign that you're not as close to God as you ought to be. And that you're more involved in worldly things than you are in things that are spiritual. Brings me to number three. Question number three on the test. Do you love God or do you love the world? Big question. We don't like to entertain questions like that in our mind. But in Mark 12 and 30, Jesus said, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." And notice what he says. "And this is the first commandment of God." Let me remind you, when we talk about whether or not we love God, and this really hinged on a question that had been asked by a young man concerning the first commandment of God. And Jesus said, here it is, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we have to love God with all of our soul, mind, and strength. And Jesus, in the book of John, the 14th chapter, verse 15, also verse or 17, verse 21, also that same text, he says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But listen to 1 John 2, verse 15, or read it up here if you will. "Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Where is your greatest affection tonight? Is it on God or is it on the world? Tough question. People often seek the world in every direction. They do. But we should never forfeit our soul on the altar of compromise or on the altar of the world. Matthew 16 and verse 26. "For what is a man to profit if he gains the whole world and then he loses his own soul?" But yet some people embrace the world and they hug the world and they hold on to the world and they don't want to let go of the world. But love the Lord your God. With all of your heart, not part of it, with all of your soul, your total being, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. But number four, how are you doing so far on the test? Number four, believe God. If you really love God, you will believe God and not Satan. You know, sometimes people that have brilliant minds, and I have seen some folks that were given to brilliance. I mean, honestly, they were tremendously intelligent. And yet, they believed Satan instead of God. You know who believes Satan instead of God? It's the people that read the Bible and say, well, I know that's your slant on it, and I don't believe that. You know what? I don't have any slant on the Scripture. Never have had. God has a slant on it, and he intends for us to obey it. That's his slant on it, folks. And whatever he says, you remember in that book of John in the second chapter when they had run out of wine and the host is going to be really embarrassed about it now because they had run out of wine. And Mary goes to Jesus and to the servants and tells him what's going on. And Jesus says, actually to the servants, and Jesus had told them to go and get water and fill those, things full of water that he may turn it into wine, the containers. And Mary says to those who were there, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And that's the bottom line. That's what I tell people. You don't have to interpret the scripture. People says, you know, that's just your interpretation. You ever heard that? Hey, Peter said the word of God is not given to any private interpretation. I just read it and I accept it for what it says. And you either believe God or you believe Satan. In John 3 and verse 18, who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 8 verse 44, you are of your father the devil again, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth. Listen to that. Doesn't stand in truth because there is no truth in him. Remember at the beginning of my sermon tonight, I told you that there is a battle going on between truth and lies. And he says that he does not stand in truth, that's Satan, because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is a great deceiver. He is. Isn't it a shame that some people don't tell the truth, the whole truth, so help them God? You know, over the last few days, if you've been watching television at all, you know by now that this coming Thursday, our potential nominee for the Supreme Court, Judge Brett Kavanaugh, will be facing an inquiry along with Mrs. Ford from out in California. It's going to be a very interesting situation, isn't it? We have a woman who is accused, Judge Kavanaugh, of something that took place 36 years ago. She wants an investigation. I think it's a stall tactic, but she wants an investigation into what might have happened 36 years ago. Let me just ask out of curiosity. Now, how many of you know what you were doing 36 years ago? Anybody? Anybody know what you were doing 36 years ago? You do, Marty? What were you doing 36 years ago?
Working.
Doing what? Oil field. Working on the Lord's Day, were you? Now, I couldn't tell you what I was doing 36 years ago. I know 36 years ago, on a Sunday, I was right here preaching the gospel. Dwight made me feel old a moment ago when he said, I told him I graduated in 1965. He said, that's the year I was born. I told him he should have come earlier. But sometimes they don't preach the whole truth. They don't. They don't tell the whole story. And that's a tragedy. And in the book of 1 John 4 and verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit. That is, whatever people are teaching. But try the spirits. That is, let's make an inquiry into whether or not they're telling the truth. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know, think about this just a minute. All these people that say, well, you know, God loves everybody, and because you're sincere, you're going to be saved, and all this kind of, and it is garbage. It's, anything that is not true is garbage, folks. It's lies. That's the bottom line. And I can tell you for sure that people who continue to believe garbage will be lost. You and I are sowing every day. And Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. How can I know that I love God? Well, you're resisting the devil. And when you resist him, he flees from you, according to the book of James. What we have to do sometimes, and not an easy thing to do, is to say no. We have no Satan. We have to say what God said, and that is to get thee behind me, Satan. But number five, there are only seven. We're getting close to the end, folks. Don't get antsy. Number five, obey God, not your appetite. 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run the race, a race all run, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but Paul says we do it that we may inherit an imperishable crown." The crown that Peter talks about, and he says it is the crown of glory that fadeth not away, eternal in the heavens. Therefore, Paul says, "I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it under subjection, lest when I have preached to many others, I myself could be a castaway." Obedience to God is an expression of our love for Him. It is. But many are building the wrong house that Jesus spoke about in the book of Matthew chapter 7. And they're building on the shifting sand of time. They're building a spiritual house that will collapse. But there's some people that still continue to say, just follow your passion. Go out into the world and get all the gusto you want. Go out and do anything that you want to do. God wants you to be happy. But let me tell you something. Inner peace, get this one. Inner peace begins the moment you choose not to allow another person or an event to control your emotions. I read the other day, believe this or not, it's amazing. Every 3.6 seconds, a child dies because of hunger. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? It is. But you know what? What really bothers me is that there are so many people who are so bored with God, who are famished and do not desire the will of God. Many are dying every few seconds and will be lost in hell because of their lack of spiritual hunger for God. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We need more people to hunger for the true meaning of life. We do, and living spiritually. Jesus says, "Labor not for the meat that doth perish, for the meat, rather, that does not perish." Sometimes people never really understand the meaning of life. You know, life isn't about one big pleasure trip here, but we're talking about a pleasure in heaven that is eternal. You know, trips, when you go on a trip, you eventually come back. But the way to heaven is a one-way trip, isn't it? We should hunger for God and seek the Lord while He may be found, Isaiah 55 and verse 6. But many are focused on what they want instead of what they need. Number 6, serve God, not self. Isaiah 6 and 8, "Also I heard a voice from heaven saying, Lord, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, here am I. Send me, Lord. Let me serve you." And when other people treat you poorly, keep being you, serving God. It'll happen to you in your life. It will. Don't ever let someone else's bitterness change who you are as a person. Because there will be people that will be bitter with you just like they were with Jesus. And throughout life, people will make you mad. They will disrespect you. And they will treat you bad. But let God, listen to this, let God deal with the things they do, because hate in your heart and bitterness will consume you. It will. Don't render evil for evil, Romans 12 says. Don't try to get back. You know what? Don't argue with a fool. He'll beat you with his experience every time. Someone said, "I was hurt," Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. I'm still hurt, But God's word admonishes me to see to it that no bitter or root of bitterness grows up to cause trouble or to defile many people. Last of all, number 7, here's the test of whether you really love God. Do you worship God? Or do you worship your comfort? You know, there are some people that are more interested in comfort than they are anything else. You listen to people talk today. Think about all the advertisements on television. How many of y'all hear those advertisements for MyPillow? You got enough of that already? Yeah, you hear those all the time. Now, MyPillow's got a little comforter that goes on your bed that's supposed to give you the best rest possible in your life. And a lot of people are more. It amazes me how comfortable people can be on a church pew. I'd like to tell that guy about those who go to sleep without his MyPillow in church. Worship God, not comfort. For in Habakkuk, in the Old Testament, little prophet also, chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, though the fig tree may blossom, he says, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the food, listen, and the fields will yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know what he's saying? He says, I'll joy in God even when I'm not comfortable. Even when I'm not comfortable, I will rejoice in God. But you know what? When God wants us to grow, you know, if you're uncomfortable tonight and there's some things that are really disturbing you, remember this one. When God wants you to grow, he makes you uncomfortable because most of us will not get out of the comfort zone. We won't. And so God makes us uncomfortable. He does. There are two types of pain in this world. The pain that hurts you, all right, but then there is the pain that will change you. You can't escape it. It's there. No more than Jesus could escape the cross. But you know what he says to us? Never give up. Never. Let me tell you one thing, and this is really the crux of the matter also. How do you know you love God? Knowing the Bible is one thing. Knowing the author is another. Do you know the author? You need to get to know God. You'll love him. You will. The gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, and the God of this world has blinded their minds. That's the lies we were talking about initially, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. And we must give up the lies. Quit thinking about the lies and believing the lies. Because I can tell you what, the devil won't bother you while you're living in sin. But he will bother you when you are trying to get out of sin. And the truth, this is one you need to remember, the truth doesn't cost anything, but a lie could cost you everything. And bottom line, last slide, is this. Consider it. Who do you love the most having taken the test tonight? Who do you love the most? Is it God or is it the world? I hope it's our Father. And I hope tonight that maybe that has not been manifested by the way you've lived your life. Maybe there's some things tonight you need to really repent of and turn around and say, you know what? I haven't really been loving God like I should, and I want to repent. I want to make sure that when I leave this world, my trip is heaven. That's where I want to be. And if you're not a Christian tonight, there's no hope for you outside of Jesus. He's your only hope tonight. He is the way, the truth, and the life, still is. And if you're willing tonight to acknowledge him as your Savior and Lord and to confess his sweet name through a penitent attitude and be immersed in water baptism and then live that life that Christ has called you to live, one that loves him supremely above all else, then the hope of heaven can become a reality. Let us stand and let us sing.